We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis, Missouri.
And you're listening to Wrestling with the Basics, and we're going to do, I don't think we've ever done this before. I don't know why. We probably should have, but we want to have a special Mother's Day episode, Matt. Is that all right with you? Because tomorrow will be Mother's Day.
That sounds wonderful, John. I will be sure to contact my mom and tell her tune in for the Mother's Day special.
Yeah. And I wish I'd thought about it because we could have announced it last week. But so I wanted to have, you know, we always start with some humor. And so I thought if we could have a really good Mother's Day joke. So, you know, we are the AI-enhanced Bible study. So I went to Claude and asked Claude if he had any good Mother's Day jokes. And you know, Claude's been really helpful, but it kind of was disappointing. The only thing he could come up with is, what did the digital clock say to its mother?
I don't know.
Look, Ma, no hands. Yeah, I know.
Claude, come on.
Yeah, I know.
You're a sophisticated AI tool. I think you could do better than that. Your shirt wasn't Claude, right?
Well, that's what I'm not sure. It might have been just C-L-O-D. That may have been. But I thought I had a better idea. Why not ask a mother for a Mother's Day joke, right?
Oh, okay, sure. Better than AI,
yeah.
A mom.
So I went to Lynn, who is a mother several times over, my wife, and I asked her if she had a favorite joke, and she did. And here's what's really cool. This joke was actually taught her by her mother.
Whoa.
So how could you have a more appropriate Mother's Day joke than that? And it's interactive. So our listeners can interact with this, and you can too. So are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready. Wow, this is Mother's Day joke. From mother to mother. Wow. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
I'm ready.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Amos.
Amos who?
A mosquito bit me. No, there's more. Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Andy.
Andy who?
And he bit me again. Yeah, maybe we should have given Claude a second chance, you think?
Oh, boy. Well, who am I to argue with a mother's joke?
That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, so thank you, Lynn, for that joke, and for Katie, your mother, who gave me that joke as well. And now it is recorded for posterity. Well, we don't really usually go to Lynn for jokes, and you can see why. However, we do want to talk about mothers, and I think Lynn had some really nice insights about some of the motherly stuff we've been talking about the last few weeks.
Great. Good.
So let me just share you a couple of insights that Lynn shared with me after some of our episodes. We have been talking about, of course, Mary at the cross. Right, there's the mother there. Mother,
yes.
Behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And Lynn made something. I guess that only really a woman could understand it. That how lonely Mary must have been, because not only didn't she's losing her son, but she's a widow. I hadn't thought about that. So Joseph is not there either. Joseph, we don't know, but he's probably been dead for a while. And she pointed out the other thing is her other children. Are her stepchildren, depending on what your denominational view is, they apparently have abandoned her too because they're not there. And I can almost picture the brother saying, Mary, don't you go down there. That Jesus, he's crazy. There's going to be trouble down there. You're going to end up getting hurt, you know. So that's why it's interesting. The only people that are there are her women friends, right? There's no male to support her, which is why Jesus, her beloved son, says, now here, take John. John will be your son. He'll watch out for you. So I thought that was a really cool insight.
Definitely. And, you know, what a blessing to have a God who cares about the widow, right? So yeah. You have Jesus care for his own mother, but then even the Old Testament, again and again, you know, God has the special care for, and he named specifically the orphan, the sojourner, the widow. And to have a God who loves and is mindful of the widow. Because I think, you know, in our congregations, and I would even think among those who listen, that there's widows too that sometimes feel a little alone. And to know that, well, the Lord is with them too. Jesus knows them. He loves them. What a comfort that is. And to be surrounded by not only the family that we've been blessed with by blood, but also the family that we've been blessed with by baptism, right? The church. You know, that we can behold one another and see each other as mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. But, thanks, Lynn.
Well, and I appreciate your comment there, too, because Jesus says, he talks about the fact that we're going to lose mothers, we're going to lose brothers. but in the end, we will have hundreds, thousands of mothers and brothers, because you're right, we have the family of the church that has been given us as well. It always strikes me as interesting that in that particular passage, he doesn't mention fathers, because we only have one father spiritually concerned, and that's Jesus. Here's the other insight she had. There's a passage, let me look it up here real quick, Matt. I got to switch to my Bible. From the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them they're going to be sad, right? Because he's going to be away for a little bit. But then again, I'll be back, he says. But he says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. And she pointed out how that fits Jesus and his death on the cross so perfectly, right? Because his death on the cross was a thing of great sorrow, even for him, right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Certainly for the disciples, certainly for Mary. And yet from that comes all of the people who will be part of the people of God, the church. So I thought, well, that's an interesting analogy, too. And that's often in our life, too. Out of the suffering, out of the struggles, often come great blessings. In fact, I would suggest probably that's the only way we can get great blessings. I don't know that they can come apart from some struggle and some suffering. So that was another insight that Lynn shared. Any thoughts about that, Matt?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you just think of the pain of labor, you know, the pain of Mary's soul being pierced even at the cross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good. Good analogy.
And then I wonder, you know, 3 days later at the resurrection, you know, you almost, like a birth, a new birth, you know, the sorrow's almost forgotten, right? You know, that he's alive, though, and he is my son, and I can hold my son again, you know, for Mary to be able to rejoice at that.
And so then a message also for widows today and anyone who's lost today. That's the beauty of Christianity. We know this is not the end of all things. We know that there will be a resurrection for us and for our loved ones. So it's nice to know that, yeah, there will be joy that will follow the struggles and suffering we have. On this Mother's Day, though, I wanted to go back to the beginning of the story of Mary.
All right, good.
So if we could turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 26. I know there's different views about Mary, and I know there is a sect within the church that wants to make her different than everybody, even to the point of being immaculately conceived. So she doesn't even have a beginning like you and I have. And of course, she lives her life sinlessly and everything. Well, I don't want to get into an argument about that, or that she's ever virgin. That's another thing that. And again, like I said, I don't want to argue about that, but I really prefer the picture that we have of Mary in the scripture, because none of that stuff is explicitly taught in the Bible. But what is explicitly taught about Mary makes me feel really comfortable, because she's a lot like me. You know, I have a lot that I can identify with her. And so that's what I want to look at. I want to look at how God brings Mary into his family and look at it in the standpoint that this is the exact same way that he brought you and me and all of our listeners into his family as well. So is that all right with you, Matt?
Yeah, yeah. Going back to God's word in the scriptures sounds like a pretty good idea to me, John. So yes, it said the speculation about Mary and kind of adding to the accounts that we have in the Gospels. Let's just go back to the Gospels, back to the source, back to what we know to be the word of the Lord, and let that inform us concerning who Mary is.
And considering the dumb jokes we've had so far, maybe that's something we really better do.
Yeah, let's just stick to the script. Stick to God's script here.
That's a good point. Stick to God's script. Well, here's God's script. Verse 26 and 27 and, well, let's do 28. Let's do all of those three verses.
Might as well. Yeah. All right, good. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you."
So what's your thoughts about those verses, Matt?
Yeah, so I mean, it's within the context of Elizabeth's pregnancy too, right?
Oh, yes,
because
you know,
it's talking about the 6 month. It's like, well, what, the 6 month of what?
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
And it's talking about the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Mary's relative, pregnant, expecting John the Baptist. We just heard about that earlier in Luke's gospel. And so that's the context in which this is happening is, you know, God is up to something. Something special is happening here. This forerunner John is already in Elizabeth's womb. And now the angel's announcing that there's going to be an even more special child. But even the time, you know, the sixth month. And then the angel Gabriel, right, a messenger from God, sent him Nazareth. And I just think that's interesting. You know, again, Nazareth, insignificant, not even mentioned in the Old Testament. And yet this woman named Mary, this young woman, this is where she lives. You know, if we could make a comparison, you know, it's, you know, the angel's not being sent to a woman in New York or Los Angeles or Dallas or even St. Louis probably, but to some other place. So I don't know. What would be a good comparison, John? New Athens? I don't know.
New Athens, Illinois.
A woman who is in New Athens. So, you know, this is perhaps unexpected, and yet this is how God operates. This is who God has chosen. And where she lives, the specific person in the specific time, specific place. I like how it's so specific. 6 month, Nazareth, and Mary. Here it all is laid out for us.
Yeah, so there's no doubt. We're not talking about some myth or some story. We don't go into that kind of detail if we're just telling us a fable. You know, so you're right. It speaks to the historicity. I agree with you. See, that's the first thing I see in common with Mary. She's not expecting this. She's engaged. She's going to be a Jewish mother, have a normal life, and that would be it. This comes out of nowhere for her. And like you say, no one would ever think Mary and Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? We hear spoken later. So there's the surprise of it. But the thing that struck me too, it's the same way that you and I got called into this. God simply sends a messenger, and the messenger delivers the message of God to us. And the message is pretty much similar, isn't it? Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. And isn't that exactly what God says to us? By the way, what's your opinion? The word, it can be translated greetings there, but the word actually means to rejoice. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand it's kind of like we say good morning to people, and we probably don't have any theological significance with that. It's just something we say. But don't you think if an angel comes up and talks to you and says greetings, it probably means more than just how you doing? But it probably has the sense of the original Greek, which is you got a reason to be happy here. You got a reason to rejoice. You got any I don't know what's the word for language?
Yeah, it's a linguistic type thing. I would say I like the idea of rejoicing at this is simply because. That's what Mary does just a few verses later, right? The Magnificat.
Yeah.
She says herself, "My spirit rejoices in
there
God, my
go.
Savior."
There you
so,
go.
So, you know,
it's the same word, right, Matt? It's the same word that the angel uses here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I am very comfortable with rejoice, right? And this message is, I mean, it's reason to rejoice. I mean, this is the best news the world has ever heard right here, right?
Yeah.
However, you know, for Mary, it's daunting, and yet she still rejoices. Because as we'll see, you know, she because of, I think, how she views herself in light of this news, that she's a servant of the Lord, right? Let it be according to your will. I can rejoice because God has chosen me for this task.
So I'm not denying the supernatural elements here. Certainly, God never came to you and me and said, that we're a virgin, we're going to be with child. Okay, that's probably just specific to Mary. And why wouldn't it be? How many mothers of God do you need, right? One mother will probably get the job done. But it did tickle me that what he says to her at this point is, "Rejoice, O favored one," which is certainly what you tell your people all the time. Every Sunday, you're telling them, hey, you're the people that God loves. Here, take, eat, take, drink. This is the body and blood given and shed for you. And the Lord is with you. Is this not the message that Wrestling with the Basics gives every time we record? That God is with everyone who's listening to us right now. So it struck me that although the specifics are directed to this situation of the Mother of God, what the angel says fundamentally is what God's messengers say to all of us. And I know when we hear the word angel, we think of these beings that glow in the dark and they've got the big fluffy wings. But I would point out to our listeners, there is none of that detail in this text, is there? We know his name, but we know. It's not like it was at Christmas where there was a host of angels, mm-hmm. and the glory of the God, Lord, shone around them. So you know what? I hear this. I think of you, Matt. You're going to be an angel tomorrow.
Thanks, John.
Well, you are just an angel anyway. That's what your wife Lisa tells me. He's such a sweet
such
angel.
An angel.
But
little cherub.
Yeah. Because the word angel, I hope our listeners know that when you're reading the Bible and you hear the word angel, what you really should be thinking is messenger. That's what the word means. We impose the meaning of angel upon it for special events, but actually the Greek word simply means messenger. So,
yeah, amen. Yeah, and you know, as pastors and as people, Christians, we have the opportunity to be messengers of good news.
Yeah,
because we share Christ with others, no doubt about it. Yeah, and you know, that the whole favored ones, I think, too. We remember our baptism. I mean, I think that's where we tangibly can point to this time where, yeah, God chose me, made me a part of his family, favored me, forgave me. And, you know, I might not be bearing the Savior of the world, but I'm connected to him, his death and his resurrection and baptism.
Yeah, yeah.
He's connected to me. So I think especially when we begin with that invocation of worship, that's a time where we as pastors are able to remind the people and remind each other, right, that in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're favored ones.
So I'm going to ask you a personal question here, because one of the things that I really like about this text is that it isn't a nameless angel. Mm-hmm. It's one of those rare instances where we know it's a guy named Gabriel, or an angel named Gabriel, because angels have no gender. But it occurred to me that applies to me as well, because I can tell you the person who told me that I was favored, who reminded me that the Lord is with me. How about you? Can you name the person that first really let you know about Jesus' love for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, since this is Mother's Day weekend, John, you know, among those, and I could name multiple people, but among those is, my mother. Yeah. Gail, to share from, you know, day one, and even before, perhaps, even in the womb, right? That I'm loved, that Jesus loves me, you know, in those simple words. Yeah.
For me, it was my grandmother, Anita, Granny, I called her. She was the one that first told me that God loved me, that I was favored. She was the one that made sure that I got to Sunday school every week. She was the one that made sure that I got to church. And I can remember to this day that I would be sitting there and I would be napping on her lap. Okay. Which is the problem I have to this day when someone starts preaching. I just want to take a nap.
Just kind of lay down on Lynn's lap.
Take a nap. I have to really work to overcome that. But I like that part too. And I hope our listeners would think about that, that there's someone that God sent to them too. That was their angel, their messenger. Yeah. We can name them by name. Now, here's the other thing I like about Mary. If you would read her response, I love her response there at verse 29 and... all the way through 34, Matt.
Okay,
29 through 34.
All right. But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of a greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin?
So here's the other thing I like. And again, I think this makes some people uncomfortable. How can Mary have doubts? But she does have doubts, right? Her response is that she's troubled at this. And the angel has to respond to her, fear not. So that she's got some fear. She's concerned. And even in the final verse there, how will this be since I'm a virgin? One of the things I love about, by the way, we've come out before. So if we have any new listeners who don't, we are Lutherans, okay? We've come out of the closet.
That's right.
And we like Lutheranism. We really do. Of course, we believe the church is invisible, and there are Christians all over the place. And you can find them any number of churches, wherever the people gather and hear the word of Christ, the Holy Spirit's work and faith. But one of the things that I love about our Lutheran understanding is that we believe we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. So when we encounter doubts and questions like Mary has here, fear, that's okay. We're not surprised by that. What do you think? We're a bunch of sinners. No, we can't do any of this on our own. But in our confessions, we go on to say, but the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, which is what's going on right here. A messenger came and told her, no, you don't need to be afraid. And of course, gives her some very specific details about God's plan for her. But it's the same way with us. The messengers just keep coming and just keep saying, look, I know you have doubts, of course. Why wouldn't you? You can't do this on your own. But here the Holy Spirit comes to work and give you faith. And by the way, I would point out in Mary's defense, this is not stubborn unbelief. Because she doesn't say, well, this can't be. There's no way that's going to happen. But rather she says, how? How will this be? And that's a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, we have a reason. I've got two children that are wrestling with a disabling disease, and it's a progressive thing. And I wonder about that. I wonder what's going on. How can this be part of God's plan? And that's okay. I don't think God is troubled by me asking questions, but he just comes back and says, you know what, John? They're favored. You know that. I love them. I care for them, and I'm gonna take care of that situation. So, any other thoughts you want about Mary and her doubts?
Great points, John. And I think it's good to make that distinction. That she asks us how will this be? Because I think we can kind of contrast Zechariah and Mary, right? Because remember Zechariah, we hear a little earlier, he gets the news that, you know, he, even in their old age, he and Elizabeth are going to have a son. And it seems as though Zechariah really does have a problem with that, right?
Yes.
It seems like he really doesn't believe this angel's message. And he's unable to speak, right, until John's born. And, you know, his name will be John. Mary, you know, she's not struck and dumb. But instead, you know, as we'll see soon, she bursts forth in praise. The Magnificat, you know. So we see this contrast. And the other thing is, as you said, with doubts, she comes and she asked the angel, how will this be, right? You know, she doesn't go off and complain to Joseph, oh, Joseph, I don't buy this. You wouldn't believe what this just happened, right? You know, but instead she talks to that angel. And I think when we have those doubts, to bring them before the Lord, right, in prayer, you know, as you mentioned, with a trust in him, whatever those things might be in our life that bother us, come before the Lord with those doubts.
And again, see, that's our connection with this. And thank you. That's a powerful insight, Matt, that when you do have the doubts, you go back to the word, you go back to the messenger, you go back to God, because that's the only source. You're not going to get it if you try to figure it out. No, but the word of the Lord will keep to remind you that there's still cause to rejoice. Right. We rejoice in suffering. That's what the Bible says over and over again. And we are favored in such. We need to wrap this up, though. Here's the last part of it. If you would read verses 35 through 38.
And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is her sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
And I really appreciate your insight that we just got to go back then, go back to the Lord, go back to His Word. And I think we will get similar answers. He will probably point us to other things that we thought were impossible that He has accomplished. I know He could certainly do that in my life. There's been all kinds of things that are just miraculous when I look back on them. I had a major heart attack. I easily could be in heaven at this point. In fact, sometimes I wonder why He didn't do that. Because Now I'm starting to put it with all the pain and stuff that's going on. It hasn't got any better since that, Matt.
So you can record Wrestling the Basics, John.
I guess it is.
So that's probably at least part of it.
So we can tell Led dumb yard. Jokes. That's what it is.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that far, John.
The line I like your best is nothing is impossible with God. And that's the final answer. Yeah, we see these things. We say, well, I don't see how that can possibly work out for the good. I don't see how that can possibly be a blessing. And yet, yeah, well, that's the point. Sure, you can't see it. We cannot believe by our own reason or strength. But that's the great thing about God. There's nothing that's impossible with Him. And finally, I do love her response. It is a response of faith, right? What's her response of faith, Matt?
Yeah, verse 38 in particular, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word.
Yep. And that's basically all we can say. Well, Lord, just because your word says you love us. Your word says that we're going to be blessed. So just let it be done according to your word. However, I would argue that this is not such a tremendous statement of faith as you might think. Because what does she want to be to the Lord? She wants to be a what?
She wants to be a servant, is what
right.
my translation
yep,
says.
Yeah. Actually, again, the Greek word there is doulos.
Yeah.
Which is it's not as nice. It's a slave. But she's got it wrong. Mary doesn't understand it yet either. God doesn't want you to be a servant. He doesn't need any servants. In fact, I guess you could say He's got angels if He needs servants, because that's what they are. They're ministering spirits, the Bible says. You know what He wants Mary to be? He wants her to be His mother. That's what He wants. He wants a mother from Mary. And mothers don't do things because there's a whip and there's a demand and you do this and do that. Why do mothers do the things they do, Matt?
Yeah, out of love for their child.
Yeah. And that's the same way with you and me and everyone listening to us. I'm sorry, people. If you think the church is all about you being the slave of Jesus, He has no need of slaves. He's looking for family. He's looking for brothers and sisters. He's looking for people that will love the way He loves, not because it's an obligation or a requirement, but because they are favored. They are loved. They have cause to rejoice. Their sins are forgiven. Eternal life will be theirs, even in death. And that's what Jesus wants. And Mary doesn't even understand that yet. But I do believe before it's all said and done, she will. She will understand what God wanted all along. He just needed a mother. And that's your job, Mary. And for everyone listening to us, He's just looking for people to be His brothers and His sisters, to have the same Heavenly Father that He has in Scripture. Well, Matt, hey, thank you for giving me a chance to share some of the insights that Lynn shared with me. When we come back next week, just so you know, Lynn has a sense of humor. I will share with you a better joke that she told me.
That's reason enough to tune in, John.
This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.